Welcome, everyone, to the May 20th, 2021 Board of Forestry Special Meeting. We are live streaming this meeting on YouTube, and to ensure our viewers online can follow along with today's meeting, I'll go over meeting some best practices to keep us on track. Board members, please silence cell phones, and if joining us online, try to limit any background noises, and please keep your video on for the entire meeting to help us all stay engaged with each other while we aren't all physically together. If you experience any technical issues, don't hesitate to use the chat function on Zoom to connect with our ODF support team in Salem during the meeting. With this being a brief meeting, no public testimony will be available. However, I would like to remind the public tuning in today that there will be opportunities forthcoming to provide comment and perhaps participate in the state forester, and certainly to participate in the state forester recruitment process. Pursuant to ORS 192.660, (2)F, the board will meet in a closed executive session starting at 9:05 a.m. The purpose of the virtual session will be to review and consider information on records that are exempt from disclosure by law. Representatives of the news media and designated staff shall be allowed to attend the executive session. This session is otherwise closed to the public. When the executive session has concluded, the board will return to the virtual meeting room and reconvene the public meeting at 10:30 a.m. With that, any questions? If none, I will perform a roll call to confirm we have a quorum. Carla Chambers?
Here.
Ben Dumling?
Here.
Chandra Ferrari?
Here.
Joe Justice?
Here.
Brenda McComb?
Here.
And myself, Jim Kelly, here. Board members, transition to the executive session meeting, and everyone else, please come back and join us again, starting at no earlier than 10:30. It's 10:30, and I would like to reopen the public meeting of the Board of Forestry and open this to a conversation relative to the replacement of the state forester. I would venture to believe that my fellow board members may have some ideas on this topic. Is there anybody who wants to jump right in? Don't all speak up at once.
Sure, Kelly, this is Joe. Out here in LeGrand, see you guys. I guess I would just say, you know, I think the acting state forester that we're looking to appoint, I think it's gonna be really important that I can't really speak. I don't think I need to repeat all the incredibly important work that the department's working on actively. All four of the divisions are engaged in. I think it's gonna be very important this the acting state forester. We'll be able to move that very important work forward effectively. I think we also have to understand that, you know, we're going into a fire season, and the acting state forester and potentially it could be a challenging one. And we have a large organization, complex organization in the fire program that has to be managed well. And I think that we need to make sure that we are, you know, appointing somebody as an acting state forester that can help with that organization, make sure that it moves forward properly. So I guess I'll just start that off with that comment.
Right. You know, I am hoping that we can get that appointment done soon, and Unless I hear other ideas that presented by my fellow board members, we will be sharing one resume with all of you. And then I think we're going to hopefully be able to meet within a week after everyone has had a chance to review that resume and to reach out to the candidate and anything else that they would want to do relative to that candidate, including, of course, reaching out to stakeholders and getting as much feedback as we all can. And so we will be wanting to schedule that meeting. And then I'm suggesting that if at that point that we vote on that candidate, and if that if we're not able to come to agreement at that point, then we will essentially repeat that process probably the following week. I think probably week intervals are reasonable in terms of doing that, and I imagine most of this that would happen on Zoom. And so just want to also remind everybody that with Peter's last day being the last day of the month, that Lena will be acting as a state forester automatically if we have not filled that position. And so I think whoever we do choose may not be able to come in immediately. So quite likely that we will be relying on Lena. So I just want to point out that there is no gun to any of our heads, and that we'll all be fine if we don't have somebody officially appointed and on board by the 1st of June.
Yeah, I think Jim, I mean, we have a really strong team. The executive team is incredibly strong, and we'll really support this process. I have every bit of confidence in them.
I would agree with that, Joe. I would also add that, you know, we've just been through the MGO process with the legislature, and we have some very specific recommendations that the agency has agreed to, 28 of them with very specific deadlines. And so we can't lose sight of that additional work. And I think also, you know, just recognition of, as you said, the fire season and the added pressure of these large, you know, fire seasons. And you know, we run $500 million organization, but it's these very, very large fires that really throw us into financial chaos. And, you know, getting to these recommendations and getting the fiscal house in order can't be put on the shelf.
Yeah. Just like to echo the comments by Joe and Carla. There are some key things that need to be carried forward. Certainly the financial piece that Carla mentioned, but also ensuring that the HCP process continues to move forward, that a forest management plan, which is complementary to that HCP, continues to move forward. And that, you know, all the other good work, especially around the fire issues, continues to move forward. I just want to add that in addition to appointing an acting state forester, which I think is our primary purpose here today, I would like to be sure that as we move forward with appointing a permanent state forester, that the announcements, the position description, and all other efforts at finding someone be done in a way such that the language is likely to attract people who might otherwise be underrepresented. And so I'm really going to be trying to pay close attention to that, and I know my other board members here will be doing the same, but that's something that I'd really like to see moving forward.
I would just also totally agree on that, that's got to be front and center in all of our efforts. Obviously, we all know what a priority it is that we are able to move effectively with the MGO recommendations and do that, and that a lot of that work is going to take a lot of time, even if it is aggressively and competently handled. But it's really not our as a board, we're really not in the position to actively manage that, to actually hire the contractors if there's contractors hired, which I certainly think there should be, or if a new position is created to work with Bill. Any of those decisions will really need to be led at this point by an interim state forester. And so I don't think we're going to be in, you know, at the one point I'm saying we don't have a gun to our head, but we all do feel a whole lot of energy about moving ahead on these financial fixes and bringing some credibility back to the department that is sorely needed. So none of that is going to really get started until we do fill that position. So I know I'm talking out of two sides of my mouth there, but I think we got it. We do still have to be attacking this in a real linear fashion and recognize the importance of it. And specifically talking about the acting interim.
I would like to sort of add on to that and to say that there's sort of two, not in this particular case in particular, but sort of two competing thoughts of the acting state forester would sort of keep the lights on and make sure everything keeps going versus there's so much work to do here that regardless of who we end up choosing for the permanent position, the acting position really needs to be able to tackle all, you know, take on as much of this work as possible as soon as possible. I definitely will echo that. I feel a lot of urgency with so many areas of work that this department needs to be working on. And the acting position needs to have the capacity to start on day one and keep a number of balls in the air and keep them moving forward.
So I also wanted to elicit board member comments on making the assumption that we do get that appointment made here within the next couple of weeks and have someone in that position in June. We then face these various steps that we've been learning about, what's required of us in statute, which in terms of the permanent position, and there's quite a bit of process that is required of us relative to updating the job description and our policy directives. We're expected to be presenting policy directives towards what we want to see in a new what we would be presenting to a new state forester. I'm just starting to get my arms around the various pieces that we will have to work on, and it is a significant body of work, I would like to get some feedback on how each of you perceive the urgency and the whether or not you would be wanting to see special meetings like this one. We are looking at a 6-month process at minimum, and that's really kind of probably going to make some other board work in terms of, you know, our ability to what we can fit into agenda suffer. If we're planning on an 8-month process, there would be little to no need for special meetings. So just kind of throwing that out there for comments and thoughts about priorities as we project how we will go through the.
I'll just offer my thoughts, Jim. I think they're, well, the first urgency is to get the acting state forester appointed. And then once that's in place, then that person is in that job at will, and we have some flexibility to move forward. I agree that we need to find the permanent person quickly, but deliberately. And I think that there's the risk of moving too quickly. We want to make sure that if we do revise the position description, that we do it with full input of the board, but also with stakeholders, which I think is required. And as I mentioned before, we want to make sure that it's done in a way that encourages people from, while still meeting the statutory requirements, from a wide variety of identities to be encouraged to apply so that we have a diverse candidate pool and qualified candidate pool when we come to the end.
And I am assuming that all of us are supporting this search, really being a national search, and that it would include possible candidates outside of Oregon. I see a lot of nodding heads. Okay.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to echo what Brenda said. I think my inclination would be to move as quickly as we can while able to act thoughtfully. And I think one of the benefits of the very long process that we have is that there is a little bit of discretion baked in, right, to how long it can take. And, you know, I think there'll be a minimum amount of time it'll take, but whether or not we need a little bit more process inserted, I think we'll be able to determine as we go. And there's also public participation that's going to be required in that process. So we're going to get feedback along the way. And I think it's going to be really instructive to see what that is and to determine if we feel like our stakeholders are feeling comfortable with the direction that we're going and we'll be able to adjust. So I fully support moving forward with getting our interim as quickly as possible and then starting the permanent process as quickly as possible, recognizing that we're trying to do this in a really thoughtful manner.
I would just echo that. I'm in agreement. And defer to you as chair on whether we have special meetings or not, and how that plays out in the schedule. I'm all in on this. So if you call special sessions, I'll be there. This is very important work, and whatever it takes to do this, I think, speaking for myself, I'm there. And this is serious work that I think I'm committed to. And while there is urgency, hopefully we will get a very confident and competent interim, and that will give us the ability to take a deliberate and appropriate time frame to find a very good candidate pool. And I'm completely in agreement that we need a national search and find folks who meet the statute. But yeah, that needs to be deliberate. And
I appreciate those comments, Ben. I think, you know, I say similar things, and we're, you know, this forestry in Oregon is just so critical at this point for the health of the state and the greater economy, and you know, way broader than the way it was visualized, I think 20 years ago, given climate change. And so the urgency is there that we make sure that this agency is run as competently as possible, as quickly as we can get that work done. So I agree with you. And if any of you need, you know, me to help with your spouses who are complaining and that kind of thing about the commitment. No, I'm joking. Carla.
While I agree with the urgency of the full-time forester, I also think we've had three people in a relatively short period of time as our state foresters. So since 2003, we've had three state foresters. So the tenure is not that long with any one of them. And I always think it's worth asking the question, and for you, Jim, as our chair, to ask the question on structure or what changes might be considered, you know, now as it relates to this position. And I think when you've got a lot of turnover or short tenure, it just begs the question of, are there any things that we should change before we put a new person into this exact, you know, into this exact set of circumstances? So I would hope you would feel free to have the leadership to ask those questions.
You're speaking specifically now to the acting.
To the long term, to the full time long term position. I think we have a short term position and a long term, and you know, we've got good leadership. We can keep the wheels on the bus. We know we've got some real financial deadlines to hit, but I also think that, you know, before we put a new person, a long term position in the exact situation, it just begs the question of, you know, why are we seeing such a short tenure of these people? And I think it's a good time to step back and ask that question.
I think, yeah, I totally agree. And we're going to have quite a bit of process and time to do that. And we're going to have a lot of input. And I think that's a good question also for our stakeholders, is why has there been this much turnover, and what are the differences that could prevent that in the future? We'll be facing all of those questions, and that particularly is a good question. I want to also open up this conversation around what people are feeling in particular about what we want to focus on in this interim position, and what, you know, feels already wrong about the current job description, what things should be added, what would be modified that we'll eventually probably be doing, that particularly, you know, seem like important in light of this temporary position. So comments on that?
I might comment on that. I think the, you know, as I read the qualifications, they're important, but a serious qualification I think we leave out is the financial management piece, meaning, you know, we're managing $500 million biennial budget. We've had $485 million worth of fires in 5 years. We manage over $4 billion of assets. The MGO report really pointed out very clearly some of the weaknesses in our basic, you know, accounting systems. Some of our systems and software are just, you know, obsolete. And I think their report, you know, the agency agreed to these 28 recommendations and the time frame associated with those. And I think just so many of our cash flow issues or defaults on loans really come back to that basic financial management piece. And I think it's just impossible to put someone in a role like this without, you know, much more capacity in that arena.
I would
agree.
Layer onto that, as I'm looking through this job description, executive experience isn't really listed in here. It's sort of parsed out in a lot of subcategories. And I'm very new to this board. I'm learning fast about the department and how it works. And I'm impressed with a lot of how it works. And I think there's been some major struggles with how it has worked. And the executive capacity of this position, I think, is paramount. Like Carla said, I know this, they're not equivalencies to compare this to the private sector, but this is a big organization. And that takes a lot of, you know, in the private sector, this would be a CEO. And I don't think we need a CEO for this. This is a state agency. This has a different role, but I use that sort of as a lens to think through what does it take to be the leader of an agency this large, of an entity this large. And I think a deep executive experience needs to be part of the job description.
Yeah. Go ahead, Brenda.
Yeah, just because following up on that, I think it's important for us to understand why past state foresters may have not been as successful as maybe they would have liked or we would have liked. But I think it's equally as important and perhaps more important to look forward to what challenges the permanent state forester will face when she or he ends up in that job. And things such as climate change, you mentioned, Jim, and carbon smart forestry, whatever that might look like, getting the HCP process completed, wherever it might end up, and certainly getting our financial house in order. And then what's that look like in the future? Once we address that, then, you know, what's the next thing that's coming? So we need to be thinking not only reactively to what we need to address in terms of the problems we are in now, but we need to be looking forward to understand who's going to lead us in those strategic directions that are going to allow us to be successful in the future.
Yeah, it's just making, as I listen to all of you, you know, I mean, points are very well taken around the need for, you know, executive ability. And somebody was saying to me the other day that, you know, the demands on in terms of communication skills for a state forester are huge. And I think we've seen I think that's been one of the reasons that we've seen the turnover and all of that, because of really failures in communication with not just stakeholders, but with you know, the legislature and the governor's office. Communication as well as executive skills are just, you know, really those skills we know are things we need to look at very carefully. And then I think you gotta have somebody who's really understands politics and can work within that milieu. And it's a very political position. And we can't have someone who really fights legislative leadership or the governor's office. The people, you know, we as a board, as well as all those elected officials, you know, represent the people of Oregon. And so this person does have to be able to work with both this board and the legislative and the governor's office, and that requires a real those communication skills and a sense for politics as well as the executive skills you're talking about. That's go for it.
Thanks. Sorry, I'm always going last here, so I feel like I'm just saying me too to everybody. But So, you know, when I look at the description, of course, there's a lot of fantastic stuff in here that gets into a lot of the nuts and bolts. But, you know, it would be interesting to see somebody in this role that does have a history of being, you know, a bit of a visionary, right? And like Brenda was getting at, forward thinking, you are setting the stage for us over the next several decades, and we're doing the forestry program for Oregon update, or we want to do that. And so somebody that's really able to articulate the vision and then sell the vision. And that's where the communication comes in. You're selling it, right? You're selling it to legislators. You're selling it to us. You're selling it to the staff. You're selling it to stakeholders. And to that end, you know, someone with demonstrated experience that is looking through all these issues through different lenses, you know, it's not just through one, right? We work with a lot of different stakeholders. They're going to work with a lot of different stakeholders. So it'd be nice to see a demonstrated history of taking, you know, collaborative stances and incorporating a lot of different sorts of information and moving forward some big initiatives, frankly. And, you know, I kind of put that in the substance piece. And then there's also the nuts and bolts. And part of that is a lot more of the CFO style issues that we talked about. And it does get me thinking how much of that you want your CEO to have and how much of it you want them to have access to support, right? We make sure they have the right sorts of people that are able to feed them information, you know, like as it relates to our accounts receivable and things that are in the MGO report. It would be great to have someone that could tackle all of that stuff and be really literate there. But also I would like them to just make sure that we have conversations around whether or not they have the support they need in the department and elsewhere to get some of that information. Cause I'm just not positive that we'll find someone that's able to check all of the boxes that we want. I'd love that, but in case we can't, then we need to think about, you know, making sure that there's some other options as well.
Little process check here. Thank you, Jason. And this came up before, and I should have brought it up before. We have all of those following us from afar, and all they see is this the little figures here for those of us in the room. So they have a hard time following who is actually speaking. So we'd like to ask all of you, each time you speak, to just reintroduce yourself. This is Ben speaking, whatever, so that all those folks can follow. And Jason was there a moment ago. Jason, are you still there? Can we have some wisdom from Jason?
Thanks, Chair Kelly. Yeah, I had raised my hand because I think at your invitation, I am able to speak into this open session of the board. And I guess I've, you know, very much enjoyed listening to the board's conversation just now and wanted to reflect on the direct appointment of a interim state forester portion of the conversation. And have really, you know, it's resonated with me a lot, and I think echoes a lot of the governor's desires for the interim position, what I've heard today from multiple board members. So I wanted to pick up on some of that and just clarify what I think in conversation with the governor, she wants to see in a interim position. And that is, we've touched a little bit on the notion of maintain, sort of keep the wheels on the buses, you know, we just mentioned those phrases. But I think she very much wants to see an interim and a permanent state forester who are really implementing change, the recommended changes that, you know, will both be coming for, will both be in the existing reports and, you know, presumptively from legislative action during this session. Secondly, I think Joe touched on this. I may be attributing the comment, but, you know, protecting the state through the coming fire season is obviously a priority. So wanted to touch on that too. But, you know, among the highest priorities is something that all board members or almost all board members have touched on, and that is the attention to the financial system structures, financial accountability, and financial transparency that are necessary. And in many ways, that is most specific, you know, in the implementation of the MGO report, but also, you know, a broad eye to all those elements. And I guess I want to just acknowledge and maybe just clarify right now for the record, my name is Jason Miner. I'm the governor's natural resources policy director. And for folks on the phone, just clarify that. But I also want to throw into this conversation, and I think Chandra just touched on it, Ben touched on it as well, but all of you have touched on it. Even the interim role is in many ways, you know, a big, almost too big a role to envision a single individual able accomplishing. And I encourage the board to think about what additional support is needed. You know, and I think we are very prepared and recognize that MGO provided some additional financial support or additional support around accounting and financial structures recently, but also encourage the board to consider what other structures, you know, what other kinds of support are needed in capacity around either communications or other elements. So, you know, it's more than a question of just, you know, one person able to do certain things. I think it's a question of what support is needed to make even an interim position successful.
Jim Kelly, Chair. I just want to also check in here on process. This meeting was scheduled to end at 11 o'clock. We're just past that. And I am good until 11:30. And I would just like to check in to make sure that other board members are as well before we continue this conversation. Okay, good. One other thing that I just wanted to give everybody an update on, I don't think we can really, that this changes anything for us, but everybody should know that the Senate bill was introduced yesterday. Senate bill, I think it's 868 by Senators Johnson and Senator Taylor. And this bill would change the authority for hiring the state forester, making an appointment by the governor. Our role would be, we would be consulted by the governor, and the state forester would be, as I said, appointed by the governor, and then the state Senate would confirm that appointment. And that, as I said, that bill is introduced, and it's also been introduced as an emergency clause. So I am assuming that there's a very good chance that that bill could get passed. And if quickly signed by the governor, that our role becomes that consulting role at that point. And so I think we need to be aware of that, but I don't think, unless anyone else has got any ideas, that we can't make any assumptions about its passing or not, and need to proceed with authority as we have it now until that changes. Any other thoughts on that?
It's good information, but I don't think it changes what we do.
Right. Right. Okay.
Brenda. Chair Kelly, where are we with the process for appointing the acting state forester?
We are at the point after this meeting. I will ask that Hillary share one resume with all of you and then encourage all of you to review that resume. Reach out to stakeholders, whoever thinks, whatever you think is wise in terms of being able to inform your decision, and to reach out to this person if you'd like to, and learn as much as you possibly can. And then we will, with Hillary's help, reschedule a meeting for sometime next week, which I'll certainly be attending by Zoom. And it will be a short meeting to have a discussion on the qualifications and a vote. And if we are not able to agree on that person, then I think we're going to try to repeat that process with another somebody else yet unknown the following week. Any questions on that? Suggestions? Nothing? Okay. Unless we've got other further comments on these subjects, we can move to adjourn. I'm seeing Joe, anything else?
I don't have anything, Chair Kelly. I'll be waiting for the meeting announcement for next week.
Okay, we've all got lots to think about, and been a lot of great suggestions. Chandra, thank you for remembering visionary. I think that's a important one too. We are in unprecedented times, and
certainly as we move forward, visionary becomes a very important concept.
I just want to thank Hillary for kind of last minute pulling all of this together. And it seems like everything changes from moment to moment sometimes. So just really thanks, Hillary, for all your work. And I think it's just great to finally be somewhat face to face, or at least mask to mask, with folks again in the room. So thanks, everybody, for coming today. And Joe, we'll see you one of these days.
Yeah. Yeah, special thanks to Hillary and her staff. I mean, they've been really slammed with all of this. And as always, she's done a really great job for us. And we really appreciate the support. With that, this meeting is adjourned.